soul to soul, spirit to spirit, boundless blessings. It seems apparent to me that we need to study a little bit about the illusion, also known as this world, the belief in two powers, mental images, mental concepts, and the difference between this world and my kingdom. And in looking at the Infinite Way, the very first chapter called Putting on Immortality seems to cover this quite nicely. So, for today, for this moment, become still inside. Feel your inner essence, so that the word may come alive in your consciousness. And the word is not these words that I speak or read aloud. The word is that inner feeling of your own essence, Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that Word we have established is your own inner essence. And we are told to cease ye from that life who has his breath in his nostrils. We are to cease from that life. And I mean cease. That life is not alive. We are to go into the Master's statement, I am the life, and I am the Word. The Word is that life. And so, the Word was God. Your inner essence is God, right this very moment. Not a little piece of God, not a thimbleful, not a spoonful, not a cupful. The entire infinite ocean of spirit is your inner essence. In back of you is the entire infinite sea of spirit. That is the life that you must put on. But you don't put it on top of the life whose breath is in its nostrils. You must put that life off in order to put on your infinite essence. And the Word was made flesh. This Word, this inner essence, this infinite sea of spirit, appears as an infinite variety of forms, beautiful forms, wonderful forms. But we are not fooled by the forms. We enjoy the forms. We thoroughly appreciate the forms, but we love the essence out of which the forms appear. Instead of loving the forms, we love the essence out of which the forms appear. And loving this essence, we are able to love everyone and everything because we love the essence within everyone and everything, including that essence within ourselves. The Word was made flesh, but it is still the Word. By being made flesh, it does not change its nature, character, or substance. It's the eyes that see the form. But within yourself, in this stillness, in this quietness, you may commune with the essence that is really there. The essence that is here and there and everywhere. The real substance. Cause becomes visible as effect. But the essence or substance is still the Word, spirit or consciousness. In this wise, or in this way, we understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world. There is not a spiritual universe and a material world. But rather that what appears as our world is the Word made flesh. You are looking at that essence everywhere. Everywhere. Including yourself. But you are seeing an infinite variety of forms. We understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world, but rather that what appears as our world is the Word made flesh, spirit made visible, or consciousness expressed as idea. Now we go into the illusion. And remember, an illusion cannot be externalized. In one of his talks, Joel says, put that in capital letters in your mind. An illusion cannot be externalized. All the error that has existed down the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds. There's the heavenly kingdom, and there's this world. We see right there two worlds, don't we? But that error is not out there. It is a deceptive state of thought. And so the error is in the mind that is falsely seeing my kingdom. All the error that has existed down the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds. One, the heavenly kingdom, or spiritual life, and the other, a material world or mortal existence, each separate from the other. Do you see a world out there that needs repairing? Do you see a nation, a race, a set of human beings that need repair, fixing up, help or healing? Do you see a mortal life? We've been working on this. Do you see a mortal life where you are and a God life? There cannot be God and another. And so this mortal life that you are looking at is a part of the error that has existed down the ages, founded on the theory of two lives. And yet, the truth is that I, your essence, is the life, the only life. And so if there's a correction that needs to take place, it's not a correction out here. Since no illusion can ever be externalized. The only correction that needs to take place is a correction within your consciousness, so that you might see the reality that is there. And all error, and any error, must be met within your own consciousness. And there is where it needs to be corrected. In spite of this sense of two worlds and two lives, men have always attempted to bring harmony into the discords of human existence through an attempt by prayer to contact this other world or spiritual realm and to bring spirit or God to act upon the so-called material existence. And we've done some work on that as well, haven't we? Over and over and over, Joel tells us you cannot pull God into your human life. You cannot add God to your humanhood. And if we are trying to practice a spiritual principle to change our humanhood, if we are trying to get God to do something about our personal sense of self, it won't work. And it only testifies to our own ignorance, our own darkness. And so he tells us where to begin to set this right. Let us begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one. I was reading this week in a new book by Eckhart Tolle, I think it's pronounced Tolle, called A New Earth. And in it he quotes Maharishi, I think that's how you say it, as saying, "The mind is Maya. The mind is Maya. There's no Maya out there. There's no infinite, omnipresent Maya. You don't live and move and have your being in Maya." You remember, Joel talks about the illusion being a deceptive state of thought. Just the same as if the criminally insane were trying to fix something out there or change something out there that's not out there. And so, the mind is Maya. The misunderstanding, the delusion, the illusion, and Maya is all taking place in the human mind. That's why we are told to cease ye from that mind, from that man whose breath is in his nostrils. Cease ye altogether from that life. And so we are told to begin with the understanding that the world is not an erroneous world, but rather, the universe in which we live is the realm of reality. And so we live and move and have our being in God, in that inner essence, everywhere, everywhere. All space, all time is filled with that inner essence of God. And even outside of space and time, it's filled with that inner essence, God. And that is what you and I live in. And so, the universe in which we live is the realm of reality about which we entertain a false concept. And so, do you see that the correction must be of the false concept? This is an inner work. And if we are still trying to fix or patch up or heal an outer individual human life, then we are working within the dream, in a false mental concept, and trying to get God to do something about it. And no wonder our prayers aren't answered. And so the work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not, then, getting rid of or even changing a mortal material universe, but correcting the finite concept of our existence. It all takes place within. This is an inside job, and I don't care if it's your personal problem you're looking at, or a relative's personal problem, or somebody down the street or at work, or just passing by personal problem. Every one of them must be met within your consciousness by a change of concept. The seeker of truth begins his search with a problem. Perhaps with many problems. The first years of his search are devoted to overcoming discords and healing disease through prayer to some higher power or the application of spiritual laws or truth to these mortal conditions. You see, in the beginning, we're trying to apply God to a material problem. The day arrives, however, when he perhaps discovers that the application of truth to human problems either does not work, or does not work as it once did. Or else he finds there is now less of satisfaction and inspiration in his study. Have we not all hit that point? I believe we have. Eventually, he is led to the great revelation that mortals put on immortality only as mortality disappears. They do not add immortal spiritual harmony to human conditions. And so the only way you can attain, feel, sense, and perceive your own infinite I, your own immortal essence, is by having mortality disappear. That man whose breath is in his nostrils must disappear. And the more it disappears, the more immortality appears. And it's not that immortality is added to you, because immortality is already your inner essence. It's that as you refrain from living a personal sense of life, you come out of that concept, and in its place you become aware of your own immortality. And this is called spiritual awakening, awakening to your own spirit. God does not create, nor does he control material affairs. And anyone living in that mortal dream is not under the law of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. And so, anyone living just in a material state of consciousness is subject to all sorts of problems. You only come under the law of God, or let us rephrase that, your immortal reality, your own immortality is always under the law of God, because the law of God sustains and maintains that essence, that substance, which you are. And so as you come out from mortality, then you become aware of immortality, and only then. You cannot go around and continuing to live in a mortal sense of existence and try to add immortality to it. It won't work. The natural man, human man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You must be in your immortal self in order to receive the things of God. Only your immortality has spiritual discernment. A human being does not have spiritual discernment. A human being only has thinking. That is why we are told time and time again in our meditation to go beyond thinking. Because when you go beyond thinking, you step off of that cliff, away from mortality, and rest back in your immortality, then it can function. Do you see how when you let go of mortality, immortality picks it up? Now, are we seeking the things of Spirit of God for some human purpose? Or are we really endeavoring to put off the mortal in order that we may behold the harmony of the spiritual realm? Only by putting off the mortal can your spiritual discernment come forward and reveal to you the harmony of the spiritual realm. It exists now, but you are looking at a concept. While we strive and struggle and contend with the so-called powers of the world, combating sickness and sin or lack, and that's what the mortal does, remember, we've talked about that. It's an endless cycle of trying to change bad into good. And so he says, while we are struggling with that, we cannot know God because we're living in a personal sense of self. And yet spiritual sense reveals that my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of all those concepts. We might say, my kingdom, well, we know that Christ is that kingdom, and we know that your inner essence is Christ. So we might say, myself is not of this world. Myself, my true self, is not of this concept. Only as we transcend the desire to improve our humanhood do we understand this vital statement. So looking at my kingdom is not of this world will not give you the understanding of that. The only thing that will give you the understanding of what he meant and means is when you are able to transcend the desire to improve humanhood. Because then you've stepped out of mortality and your Christ knows exactly what and why Christ said this. Because it's the one that said it. When we leave the realm of human betterment, we catch the first glimpse of the meaning of I have overcome the world, or your inner essence has overcome your concept. We have not overcome the world while we are seeking to have less of the world's pains and more of the world's pleasures and profits. No, because you're lost in the concept of good and evil if you're trying to change evil into good. And remember, God never created any such world. And so all your efforts, all of your efforts, which is man whose breath is in his nostrils, is to get ahead financially, is to maintain your health, is to find the right partner. Do we not see that that's living a wholly material self-life, a wholly human life, a life of mortality whose breath is in their nostrils? We are told to cease from that entirely. And only in the ceasing of living that and having those goals and those concepts and going after them, only in the ceasing of living that does our immortal essence step forward and take over. It rises out of the tomb and takes control and lives itself where we have appeared to be. And if we are not overcoming the sense of struggle over worldly affairs, well, then we are not entertaining the realm of heavenly affairs. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And so if you have had a spiritual rebirth, or if you are having a spiritual rebirth, then you are born of God. And you are overcoming these concepts within yourself. It all takes place within. Spiritual consciousness overcomes the world, both the pairs of opposites, the pains and pleasures of the world. It overcomes both of them. We can see pretty easily that if you hate or fear something out here, you are entertaining a false concept that you need to overcome. What we have difficulty with is understanding that if you love something or someone out here, then you are also lost in the concepts. Overcoming means they both have to go. Hate, fear, and love of any form that is appearing to you means that you are in the mortal dream world of forms. We must reach the place where we live and move and have our being in the invisible essence behind the forms, always and everywhere, and commune with it, which is our own inner essence. That's the life we're headed towards, and I can guarantee you, when you reach that life, you will not have less love, you will have infinite love. And it will flow out to you to that essence, and from that essence back to you, from sources all over the globe. You will not have less love, you will have infinite love. We cannot accomplish this evangelization of humanhood by mental might or physical power, so if you think that you can just know this truth intellectually and think about it and say it to yourself over and over, it's not going to work. This must be an actual, for real change of consciousness, where you step out of those concepts within yourself and into an experience of that inner essence. So we cannot accomplish this by mental might or physical power, but by the spiritual sense of existence which all may cultivate through devotion of thought to the things of the Spirit. Ah, yes, you can ponder and meditate upon them. And then you catch the vision, you catch the sense of that inner essence. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And these are the very concepts that if you are caught up in them, then you are not under the law of God. God does not support that life in any fashion. God supports and maintains and sustains that eternal, invisible, spiritual essence that, yes, appears as your form and appears as these forms, but it is still the inner essence, and that is what God supports and maintains. And when you see that and sense that, then it appears as harmonious forms. But we're not working and living and having our being and our love, hate, and fear in the forms. We are now stepping behind the forms into that invisible kingdom. Here is the guide. Watch your thoughts, aims, and ambitions for just a short while and see if your mind is on your health, the pleasures of the senses, or any worldly gain. Then, as these worldly thoughts appear, learn to reject them. Here's where the work comes in. This is a conscious activity within your consciousness. You can't go around and just coast and say a few prayers and think you're okay. This is a constant spiritual activity within your consciousness where when these thoughts come, you reject them. Because now we are no longer set on the path of improving our human affairs, but on attaining the spiritual sense of existence or the spiritual kingdom. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And now this is easy to explain. If you love the world, if you love individual mortal beings, mortal people or things, who's loving? Another mortal. Here's a tip, here's a secret. Only the mortal can see mortality. Christ does not see that, or otherwise Christ would not be a healing consciousness. But on the other hand, only immortality can see immortality. And so now, which life are you standing in? What are you seeing? And so he's saying, watch your thoughts. What are you seeing? If you are seeing mortality, you've entered the mortal human mind again. But if you are seeing immortality, then you are in your immortal self. And so if you love anything in the world, it's a mortal you are loving. And it is a mortal loving a mortal, or trying to. And so that's an individual mortal love or sense of love. That's not the Father's love. But if you see immortality and that love flows out through you, to mortality, to immortality, and back from immortality to your immortal self, then that is the love of the Father. So now when we read this, we understand what it means. If anyone loves the world, then that's a mortal sense of love. The love of the Father is not in him, because that's an infinite sense of love. Do we see? Do we appear now to be desiring a life apart from the normal, joyous, successful walks of life? Do not be deceived. Only those who have learned to keep their attention on spiritual things have tasted the full joys of home, companionship, and successful enterprise. Only those who have in a measure become centered in God have found safety, security, and peace right in the midst of a war-torn world. And that is something very hard to get across. Unless you've had the experience, then you know that it's true. Right in the midst of war, if you have this conscious awareness, if this conscious activity is taking place within your consciousness where you see immortality, then even in the midst of a war-torn world, you will find safety, security, and peace of mind, peace of being. Spiritual sense does not remove us from our normal surroundings, nor does it deprive us of the love and companionship so necessary to a full life. It merely places it on a higher level. It takes it out of a mortal sense of love into the immortal essence, divine love. It places it on a higher level where it is no longer at the mercy of chance or change or loss, and where the spiritual value of the so-called human scene is made manifest. Because that which you behold within appears out here as form. And so always, always, always we are in the process of dying out of a human sense of existence and becoming aware, stepping into our spiritual sense of immortality. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And now he's going to tell you how to make this process a conscious activity within your consciousness. And so this is what we must be doing on a daily basis. When confronted with any human problem, I don't care what it is, one of yours, one of your relatives, friends, acquaintances, suddenly there's a problem brought to your attention. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to stay in that mortal sense of consciousness and offer sympathy? Oh, I'm so sorry. And walk away? Are you supposed to stay in that mortal sense of consciousness and pray? Oh God, please help us. No, because now we see that mortal sense of consciousness, that mortal sense of existence, is a state of separation. It's not a state of oneness. And so what are we supposed to do? When confronted with any human problem, instead of laboring for an improved human condition, right there, turn from the picture, because it's a concept in your mind, so turn from the concept, and realize the presence of the Divine Spirit in you. And by realize, it means turn from the mental concept. If you need to say a few words to remind yourself of the presence of the living God, of the Spirit, of immortality, of that essence within you, then say those words within yourself. But quickly as you can, rest back in it and get an inner sense, an inner feel of that presence, of your own inner essence, of the I of your being. So turn from the concept and realize the presence of the Divine Spirit in you. That's all we are to do. You see, we're handling it entirely within our consciousness. We're not looking for any change out here. We are looking for a change within ourselves, stepping out of these mental concepts swimming and swarming around, and resting back in that spirit until we feel it. This spirit dissolves the human seeming and reveals spiritual harmony. Though to sight, this harmony will appear as improved human health or wealth. And it always does, because sight, well, any of the five senses are that mortal sense of existence. Your spiritual identity does not use the five senses, ever. It uses spiritual discernment, which is a sensing and a feeling. And so as you look out here, you will get to the place where you are not using your five physical senses. They are operating on autopilot, almost. You are up here, discerning, sensing, feeling that inner immortal essence within everything you see and everyone you see. And then it appears to your sight, to those senses, as improved health or wealth. But you are not interested in that. That's the added things. You are interested in this inner change where you step out of the concept and dwell in the inner knowing of that inner essence. You see? And it's an activity of consciousness that must be going on within you at all times. If you need more quiet time, take it. If you need to remind yourself by posting a post-it note on your wall, do it. If you need to associate with other people that are living this way, do that. If you need to get up earlier in the morning to have this time before you go out the door, then get up. If you need to take 10 little breaks during the day for 30 seconds, do that. Do whatever it takes to have this conscious activity going on within you at all times. One man told me that we must practice this 24 hours a day. If you wake up in the middle of the night, remember then to practice the presence. In this way, you will step out of these mental concepts and into a conscious awareness of that inner essence. And you will step into it on a permanent basis. It will become your consciousness all times, almost all time. This is how you come into your own Christhood. When Jesus fed the multitude, it was his spiritual consciousness, or his spiritual awareness of that invisible, immortal essence. It was his spiritual consciousness of abundance that appeared as loaves and fishes. When he healed the sick, it was his feeling of the divine presence that appeared as health, strength, and harmony. And the more you see this change within yourself, the more you come into contact with this inner essence and see these concepts within you dissolved and then appearing as greater harmony out there, the more this becomes bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. It becomes a working part of your consciousness 24/7. But you have to work with it, with these principles first. This may all be summed up in Paul's words, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." And now we understand what that means, don't we? Set your affection on this invisible spiritual reality, this temple not made with hands, omnipresent, rather than on these concepts of things that the senses are showing you. We are living in a spiritual universe right now. But the finite sense has set a picture before us of limitation. While thought is on the picture in our mind, this world, we are engaged in the constant effort to improve or change that picture. But now we're going to live a different life. We are going to cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils, and we are going to realize that I am the life. And we're going to do this consciously by an activity taking place a work taking place within our own consciousness. As soon as we lift our vision, take thought off what we shall eat and drink and wear, we begin to behold the spiritual reality, which appears to us as improved beliefs, but which really is more appearing of reality, because it's always been there, it's there now. This more appearing reality brings with it joys untold here and now, pleasures beyond our wildest imagination, and I can say amen to that. Beyond your wildest imagination. And the love of all with whom we come in contact, even the love of those who do not know the source of the new life we have discovered. Why does that happen? Because you are seeing your own inner true identity everywhere, that essence, that Christ everywhere, that presence everywhere. And as you see it, it speaks to you. It flows to you through sources all over the world, and even through sources in invisible interior dimensions. The love flows from there as well, I guarantee it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not a concept, but the spirit which is of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How often do we go on the rocks on this point? How frequently do we attempt to understand spiritual wisdom with our human intellect? Mortality cannot grasp, understand, experience, or know immortality. It is only when you put off mortality that immortality is experienced. And so how frequently do we attempt to understand spiritual wisdom with our mortal intellect? This leads to mental indigestion because we are attempting to digest spiritual food with our educated mentality, and it will not work. Truth is not a reasoning process, therefore it must be spiritually discerned. Truth does not, as a rule, appeal to our reason, and when it appears to do so, we must search deeply to see if it really is truth. You must be suspicious of a truth that seems reasonable. And we've used this example before of Christ walking on the water, of a dead man raising in your presence, and how shocked the mind would be. It would be so shocked that it would become still and experience reality. And so he says, Jesus walking on the water, feeding the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes, healing the sick and raising the dead, does all this seem reasonable to you? No. Can the mortal mind get, what's the expression we use today? Can you wrap your mind around that? I don't think so. But you can step into that experience if you are willing to let that mind go and receive the mind in its place that was in Christ Jesus. If the principle underlying these experiences could be understood through reason, all the churches would be teaching it as a present possibility, and they would recommend its practice. But this principle is apparent only to spiritual sense. And you can know this principle, the principle behind these experiences of raising the dead, walking on the water, feeding the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes. You can know the principle behind it with and as you enter into your spiritual sense of existence, your spiritual sense of the kingdom, where this world concepts appeared to be. And this cultivated spiritual consciousness can do the things that the Christ has ever done. What was possible to Christ consciousness in Jesus' time is possible to that same consciousness this very moment. We, you and I, now are engaged in the cultivation of that spiritual sense, and we shall succeed in proportion as we relax from mental struggle, and become receptive to those things which the Spirit of God teaches. You are taught by the Spirit of God when you step out of this mortal concept and do what he suggested and turn to the Spirit within, to a conscious awareness of the Spirit within. Then that Spirit teaches you and lifts you up, lifts itself out of the grave. Instead of trying to make Spirit operate upon your human body and material affairs, let us learn to disregard these mortal pictures and keep our vision on things above. Does that sound like we're working on the material picture? No. No, we let it go and put our vision on things above. When we come down to earth again, we shall find the discords and limitations of sense disappearing and more of reality appearing. And really, that's the whole essence of spiritual healing. The kingdom of God does not consist of more and better matter, nor does it necessarily include a greater vocabulary of truth. Yet the fruitage of spiritual understanding is greater harmony, peace, prosperity, joy, and more ideal companionships and relationships. Those are all the ways that invisible spirit appears to your senses. It is still invisible spirit. Remember, it's still the Word, even though appearing as flesh. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe or understand. To receive the word of God or spiritual sense, we need to feel rather than reason. Listen up to this part, because it'll give you clues as to how you know you are in your spiritual sense. This is referred to biblically as receiving the word in the heart. Note here that the development of spiritual consciousness results in a greater gift of feeling the harmony of being. We understand that neither seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, nor smelling will reveal spiritual truth or its harmonies to us. And so if you see harmony out here, okay, if you hear harmony out here, if you taste harmony out here, if you touch harmony out here, or if you smell harmony out here, that's not spiritual truth. That's not spiritual harmony. Well, what's spiritual harmony? Aha! It must come through a different faculty, the intuitive faculty, which acts through feeling. And so you will know what spiritual harmony is when you go within and step out of that material sense, that mortal sense of thinking and concepts, and into that invisible spiritual essence. Then you will know spiritual harmony, which takes place only within your being. Heretofore, we have sat down to pray or to meditate, and immediately a stream of words and thoughts started to flow. Oh, please, folks, let's go beyond words and thoughts to an actual inner experience of the essence of God, or God being, which is your true self. Perhaps begin to affirm truth and deny error. You can see that this is wholly in the realm of the human mind. And what were we just told earlier? The human mind is Maya. And so you're praying with Maya. How can you possibly get results? You can't. You must step out of that mind and pray from an inner self. Let that inner self do the praying. Remember, the Spirit maketh intercession. It's the Spirit within you can pray, and only the Spirit can pray. The human mind cannot pray. Cannot pray aright. You ask and receive not because you pray amiss. Of course, you're praying with the human mind. You're praying with Maya. And so, in our inner selves, we must make that transformation. We must step out of that. As an activity of consciousness, we must make that our sole activity, to step out of and stay out of that human mind, that human sense of self, that mortal sense of self. And stay up here in the Spirit, where the Spirit can pray, where you receive impartations from the Spirit, from the Father. That's prayer. And that prayer reveals spiritual harmony. And then when you come back to the senses, you notice there's more harmony in the picture. But it's all met at the level of consciousness. In cultivating our spiritual sense, we become receptive to thoughts which come to us from within. That's what we just said. We become hearers of the word rather than speakers. Aha, there's a secret. True prayer is not speaking. True prayer is hearing and receiving from the spirit within. We become so attuned to spirit that we feel the divine harmony of being, and that's an inner experience. We feel the actual presence of God. Having transcended the five physical senses, our intuitive faculty is alert, receptive and responsive to the things of the spirit. And we begin our new existence as a result of the spiritual rebirth. We begin a new existence, an existence outside of the five sense mind, outside of the concepts. Have you begun a new existence there? Are you there now? Then you are experiencing the rebirth that Jesus said you would have to have. Heretofore, and if you are not there, then you know what you need to do, don't you? Heretofore, we have been concerned with the letter of truth, now only with the spirit of truth. In your new existence, from now on, you can only be concerned with the spirit of truth. We are not so concerned now with what is truth as with feeling truth. We don't want an understanding of what truth is. We want to feel it. I don't want an understanding of spirit. Oh, well, spirit is thus and so. I want to be spirit, be in the center of spirit and feel spirit in me. I want that experience. That is what prays within us. That, and only that, is prayer. Nothing else. This is accomplished in proportion as we give less thought to the letter and more receptivity to the feel. This word feel, incidentally, refers also to the awareness, consciousness, or a sense of truth. We are not now speaking truth, but receiving truth. And that which we receive in silence, we may speak from the housetops with authority. And silence we understand now to be exercising no power whatsoever. Silence is a state of rest. And in that state of rest within yourself, you have overcome the world, the concepts. And in that state of silence, your very Christ identity comes forth and comes forward and takes control and takes over as the only life where you have appeared to be. This is rebirth. This is resurrection. This is what you are doing and what is happening to you within your own consciousness as you walk this path. Spiritual healing is the natural result of a divinely illumined consciousness. We are illumined only as we are receptive and responsive to spiritual illumination. We misunderstand immortality when we think of it as the immortality of a human personality or personal sense. Death does not produce immortality and end personal sense, nor does the continuation of human existence mean the attainment of immortality. And that's an important line, ladies and gentlemen, friends. Death does not produce immortality or end personal sense. And so if you were waiting for this to happen, after you pass from this scene, I'm afraid it's not going to happen that way. All spiritual death is this inner experience which we have been talking about now for 55 minutes. An activity within your consciousness. This is what dies to mortal sense and awakens to immortality. And it happens right here. Death does not end personal sense. If you have not done this here, you can die. You can pass from this scene, go into that far country, and still have personal sense with you. But we are also told, if you have made this death here, to the best of your ability, in that passing, you can come into an even greater awareness of your infinite everywhere self. But the activity must begin here, and every knee will bend. Everyone will, sooner or later, take up his cross, go within his being, deny his self, and follow Christ into his Christhood. Everyone will take up this activity of consciousness, some now and some later. I am doing this now, and I know that you are too. And God bless you, and I love you. Now, immortality is attained in proportion as personal sense is overcome. Now, there it is again. Immortality is attained as mortality is overcome, whether here or hereafter. As we, you and I, put off the personal ego and attain the consciousness of our real self, the reality of us, divine consciousness, then we attain immortality. And that can be achieved right here and right now. The desire to perpetuate our false sense of body and wealth ensnares us into death or mortality. Because if you're living in mortality 24/7 and you haven't begun this conscious activity within your consciousness, then you are what Jesus calls the walking dead. The first step in the attainment of immortality is living out from the center of our being, as in the idea of unfoldment from within rather than accretion. It is the giving sense rather than the getting. And I know I made that talk on infinite supply, and perhaps it was misunderstood by some, but I am trying to bring this principle into your awareness that when you attain a conscious awareness of this inner essence, you will no longer be a getter. You will be a giver. It has got to express, and it will express through you, whether acts of service, acts of love, whether donations, whether helping humanity, whether helping animals, in some way or another, that love will flow through you. Only now, it will not be a love of form. It will be a love of that inner essence behind the form. That's what we'll express. Yet it does it as an expression. It appears to us as form. And so if you walk up to someone while in this conscious awareness of their inner essence and give them a hug, that is the inner essence of you recognizing the inner essence of them, and yet appearing tangibly as a form, a hug. And so, here he is saying again that it's a living out from the center of our being, as in the idea of unfoldment from within rather than accretion. It is the giving sense rather than getting, being rather than attaining. In this consciousness, there is no condemnation, judgment, hatred, or fear, but rather a continuous feeling of love and forgiveness. And that's what we just said. It is not a simple matter to show forth the joy and peace of immortality, because to those intent on preserving their present concepts of being, immortality would appear to be extinction. And that's what it feels like, doesn't it? Well, if I get rid of my mortality, if I no longer love mortals, I'll be like the hole in a donut. Where will I be? And we can tell you, well, you'll come into the conscious awareness of your true identity, but that means nothing to you standing on this side, does it? You will only know what you will be when you become nothing. And into that nothingness, into that silence, I tell you, the infinite presence of the living God will pour itself. And then you will find you are all. And so, it would appear to be extinction, but this is not the case. It is the eternal preservation of all that is real, fine, noble, harmonious, gracious, unselfish, and peaceful. It is reality brought to light in place of the illusion of your senses. It is the conscious awareness of the infinity of individual being replacing the finite sense of existence. And that's what we said. Selfishness and conceit fall away in the realization of the divinity of your being. This realization brings forth patience and forbearance with those still struggling in mortal material consciousness. It is being in the world, but not of the world. Okay, so that was the chapter Putting on Immortality from the Infinite Way, and you see there's much meat and wine and water for us in that simple little chapter. This was the only book, I believe, that Joel wrote by hand. And in that simple chapter is the secret to all of existence. This is the secret to, well, what am I supposed to be doing? How do I find this true identity? How do I find this spiritual essence? How do I heal, become a healer? How do I die and become born again? How do I put off mortality and put on immortality? This is the secret to the whole thing. This one little chapter. Now, we see now that there is an activity, a work, that must take place within us. We see also that there is no material world. There is the divine spiritual essence, omnipresent. There is the temple not made with hands in which God dwells everywhere. And there is a glass darkly, or a mental concept, many mental concepts, about that divine reality. And so we do not see the divine reality, we see the mental concepts. Therefore, a spiritual surgery is required. An activity of consciousness must go on within. And that activity is stepping out of the mortal concept and into an actual conscious awareness of the living presence, the living spirit, the living essence that is I. And in that consciousness, the glass darkly dissolves and appears as harmony out here. But first, we have the conscious awareness of spiritual harmony in here. And the two become one. Blessings to all of you as this rebirth occurs within your own consciousness, and you find that you have always lived and moved and had your being in your own eternal essence called Christ.